Well, good morning. I was so excited to preach today that I turned my mic on in the back, thus cutting Kelsey out. So it's totally my fault. But like I said, I am so excited to preach today. So thank you for being here. We are in a series called Life in the Ring. Life in the Ring. And if you recall, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we've got to be strong in the Lord. Amen? We've got to be strong in the Lord. And we've also got to stand against the devil's schemes. Paul tells us this. He tells us all in that passage that there's a fight going on and that we are right in the middle of it. And you know, the real struggle we're facing every day is not really against the flesh and the blood, but it's against the power and the spiritual forces of evil in this world. Amen? That's what the word says. That brings us back around to what true Christianity really is. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's like a boxing match. And we've been talking about this for the last number of weeks. And you know, you've got to start fighting, because if you're living and breathing, then you're in the ring. You are in the ring right now. That's what Paul tells us. Well, a few weeks ago, you might remember we talked about Iron Mike Tyson. You remember that? And the guy had 22 knockouts in the first round. But there was one guy that Iron Mike just couldn't beat. He had a lot of trouble with this guy. And his name is Evander Holyfield. Anybody remember Evander Holyfield watching his fights? Come on. Man, that guy was mean, right? Evander Holyfield, and here's what they called him. They called him the real deal Holyfield. The real deal. That's a cool name. Let me tell you how he got that name. That's what I want to share today. So Evander Holyfield actually gave himself that name, the real deal. And here's how it happened. Holyfield had worked his way into the 1984 Olympic team. Onto that team. And no one really knew about Evander Holyfield outside of the boxing world. And so when he put on the red, white, and blue, you know, it seemed like he had come out of nowhere when he won 3 straight qualifier matches by knockout. Yeah. And then suddenly, Evander Holyfield, out of nowhere, he becomes the clear favorite to win the gold medal. But in the round of the semifinals, which would lead to the gold medal round, Holyfield was suddenly disqualified. He had knocked out his opponent, allegedly 1 second after the referee had called for a break in fighting. Ref calls break, he's already got the left hook going, bow, right on the chin, guy goes down. The ref stops the fight, and he immediately disqualifies Holyfield. And this became the big controversy of the 1984 Olympics. One, because it wasn't clear that that had actually happened in the ring. But also, there were some rules in place for Olympic boxing. And the rules stated that if you got knocked out, you couldn't fight for 28 days. So Holyfield's opponent, who had just been put out on the floor, was awarded the victory for the fight. And he was also not allowed to go to the gold medal round, Holyfield's opponent. He was not allowed to fight for the gold medal because he had been knocked out. And so this automatically gave the gold medal to a guy from Yugoslavia that year. Guess where the referee was from? Exactly. He was from Yugoslavia. So this became a big controversy. All right, listen, here's what happened. People started to call Evander Holyfield Raw Deal Holyfield, because he got a raw deal. It was clear that something had happened and maybe he had gotten cheated and he got a raw deal. I mean, how would you respond to something like that in your life if you felt like you got a raw deal on something? Well, how did Evander respond? Here's what he said. He said, no, I'm the real deal. I'm the real deal. And that name stuck ever since. And looking back on that moment in Evander Holyfield's life, before he was so well known, here's what he said. He said, I didn't want my whole life to be built upon something negative. I don't want that. You want that? I don't want that. And here's how we fight our battles. All right, the real battles, the spiritual battles, the internal battles. All right, when the enemy comes to you and tells you what you are, you just tell the enemy who you are. And when he comes and calls you a failure, you say, no, the battle has been won. And when he makes you think that what you've done has disqualified you from God's grace, you just say, no, I am accepted by God. Amen? And when he says, you've been given a raw deal, you say, no, I belong to Christ, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I'm victorious. I'm not living with a raw deal. I'm living with the best deal I could ever have. That's a plan of salvation. That's the deal we have. And so the whole world watched Evander Holyfield on the stage. And because he kept his cool in that situation, he won himself a ton of respect from that setback in his life. And you know, the world didn't know much about him until now. But now they had a lot of respect. They had a lot of respect. You know, I think to myself, you know, what helped this guy keep his cool in such a difficult situation? You know, where does that kind of strength come from in your life? You know, and when I say strength, you know, I don't mean, you know, throwing knockout punches at people and cursing them and throwing words and all that stuff. I don't mean that. I mean the kind of strength it takes to handle the kind of pressure that comes along. The strength it takes to keep your cool. Remember, it's like what Jesus did when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate looked at him and he said, who are you? And he didn't say nothing. And I mean that kind of strength, the kind of strength that Jesus had to stay silent and to finish his mission to the cross, to not be offended. How do you prepare for that kind of moment in your life? That's hard. I want to tell you some more about Evander. Evander Holyfield began boxing when he was just 8 years old. 8 years old. He punched his first opponent in the nose. And he tells the story of the first time he ever went to practice. You know, that day his coach said, hey, I want you to go hit the heavy bag. And, you know, I don't know a lot about boxing, but they got this heavy bag. And what they do, it's a heavy punching bag, and the boxers train on it to build their muscle strength. And so the first time Evander's hitting the heavy bag, what happens is he knocks the skin clear off of his knuckles. All the skin's gone. And so his coach just laughs a little bit, you know. Probably seen this a million times. And Evander saw that. He just went back to hit the bag some more, you know. He just kept fighting. And here's what's so inspiring about this moment in his life. The first thing his coach said to him, the first words out of his coach's mouth were these. Evander, do you know you can be like Muhammad Ali? That's what his coach said. So here's this 8-year-old little kid, physically, you know, can't even stand up to a bag, basically. But his coach asked him one simple question. You know, what do you believe you can become? And so from that day forth, Evander Holyfield would go home as a kid, and every time he went into the bathroom by himself, right, he'd look into the mirror, and he'd say, Evander Holyfield, heavyweight champion. The world. Brush your teeth. Evander Holyfield, heavyweight champion of the world. That's what he did. But that's not it. After that first day in the gym and he went home and said, I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world at 8 years old. He went back and he told his coach, he said, Coach, I want to be the heavyweight champion of the world. And you know what his coach said? His coach said, Evander, do you know what a fantasy is? Because a fantasy is something you want to do, but you aren't willing to put the work into it. That's a fantasy. Evander, is this a fantasy or is this a goal in your life? Evander said, it's a goal. It's a goal, coach. So his coach said, all right, you fight tomorrow. And his first fight was the next day. And he won that fight, by the way. Fighting takes two things. One, it takes the right mindset. You've got to believe that you can. And two, it takes hard work. You got to be willing to put in the training. And actually, what the coach said to Evander is really a great question for us all today. Am I living in a fantasy world, right? Am I expecting big things to happen, but not willing to put in big effort? Am I just calling myself a Christian, or am I the real deal? Am I the real deal? Are you the real deal? You know, Evander Holyfield's life went on for major success. And he became the only professional boxer to win the heavyweight title on 4 separate occasions. The only one. The last guy who had held that record did it 3 times. You know what his name was? Muhammad Ali. He outdid him. You know, Evander Holyfield has shown great character throughout his entire career. And, you know, it's a good thing that he was tested. He was tested by those hard times. Because the fight he's most known for was with Mike Tyson, right? And it was their second fight together, and it became known as the Bite Fight. You guys know what I'm talking about. In that fight, Tyson was the one disqualified because he bit Evander on the ear. Actually, he bit both ears. He got warned the first time, and then he bit him again. I went back and looked at the footage. Okay? It was vicious. But here is what is most interesting to me about all of this, just in researching this and studying this. After all that Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield accomplished in their lives, right, both rising to the top of the boxing world, both becoming heavyweight champions of the world, you know what Evander said he most often gets asked about? He most often gets asked about forgiveness. What? Isn't that crazy? Not you know, what was it like to be the heavyweight champion of the world? You know, not what was it like to get robbed of the gold medal? You know, no doubt he's been asked that a lot of times, but rather, have you forgiven Mike Tyson? That's the big question everybody has for Evander. And this is the real conflict in life. This is it, guys. This is what the whole tournament is about, all right? This is for the gold medal. This is for the championship. The real battle we face in life is a battle for forgiveness. Holyfield said that Mike Tyson was the one guy he knew he couldn't wish away. He knew that one day he'd have to fight Mike Tyson. So instead of completely ignoring Mike Tyson, he studied him, and he watched every single fight that Tyson ever had, and Tyson was the only fighter that Evander Holyfield ever did that with. He studied every move. He knew he couldn't avoid him. And the same is true for us. we will have to deal with this attack from the enemy. We have to keep our eyes on this one. And let me tell you right now, this is one of Satan's most devastating blows in your life. It's forgiveness. If he can keep you from forgiveness, he's got you cornered. He has you against the ropes. So let's go to Scripture for a minute. I want to bring us to one example in Scripture where we can see Satan trying to destroy the church with this very thing. Okay? Paul makes an interesting statement when he says that we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. Apostle Paul says that. He says this in 2 Corinthians. Here it is, chapter 2, 10 and 11. Let me read that. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. The bout is actually found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You got to read both, okay? And he tells them there, hey, you've got to expel this immoral brother. And he told them to do that because he's doing something that's just completely offensive in the church. And so Paul's tone is really firm in his first letter because the church had been tolerating the sin and doing nothing about it. And yet, they were out there claiming to be strong in the Lord. And they were very proud of themselves. And they were saying, hey, we're the real deal. We're the real deal. But they were tolerating sin and doing nothing about it. So Paul speaks harshly to them. And he does that in order to wake them up to action. In fact, he says that they should put the man out of the church and even hand him over to Satan. I mean, that is pretty severe. That's severe. Well, that's exactly what the church does. They listen to Paul's advice and they bring some swift disciplinary action to the man. But then we fast forward to 2 Corinthians. And Paul knows that they've actually listened to his advice, but now the man actually wants to turn around. He's actually seeking forgiveness. He wants to come back to the church. But this time, the church is resistant to it. And so now Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he has to tell them, hey, you got to accept him back into the church. Right? First, they tolerated the sin. Now, they don't want to tolerate the man. That's crazy. And so Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8, right before that. He says, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority, and that is to outwit us at some point in our personal world. And he wants to gain an advantage over your life. And he can do that with forgiveness or the lack of it in your life. He can gain that advantage. And right here in Scripture, you know, this is where we can really see Satan's strategy unfolding. Number one, cause sin. Cause sin. Number two, tolerate sin. All right? Number three, punish the sin. Yeah. Satan likes all that stuff. But here's where the real venom comes, okay, from him. Number four, leave the sin unforgiven and unrestored. That's what he wants. And then knock out that person. Leave him in a state of excessive sorrow. That's what he wants for you. And you know what else effect that has when the church can't forgive? It leaves the church completely ineffective. That's his whole strategy. You know, we don't want to leave people in that state of excessive sorrow. And this passage tells us where that comes from. Not from sin, but from not finding forgiveness for sin. See, people lose hope
when they can't find a way to forgiveness. Right? Because we've all messed up. We've all messed up. And we all need to find forgiveness. Amen? Well, here's what I want you to know this morning. As I kind of wrap things up this morning, I want you to know this, okay? Satan can't really hurt you. But he seeks to take advantage of you. All right? He wants to leave us in a place of sorrow and mental suffering and distress and painful regret in our lives. He wants to leave you there on the floor. Why does Satan want us to withhold forgiveness for someone else? Or even for ourselves? Why does he want us to withhold that so badly? Because this is one of the best ways to undo the hard work that Christ has already done in your life. Now, who can undo what Christ has already done? Okay, nobody. Nobody can do that. But listen, Satan will try to undo Christ's work anyway. And he wants it to be ineffective in your life. And if he can keep you from receiving forgiveness or extending forgiveness to someone else, then he gains the advantage over your life. And if you can't forgive people, then you don't understand forgiveness. Don't take it from me. Take it from Jesus, all right? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. These are the words of our Savior. Says this, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Wow. That, you see how that's a knockout punch in your life. This is really important. This is important. This is what life in the ring is all about. Right? This is real deal faith. And if you want to be a real deal follower of Christ, if you want to be able to go all 12 rounds in life and come out victorious, you have to confront this enemy. You have to fight him. You've got to learn to forgive. Because it's not going to go away. Whatever that thing is that you're carrying today, it's not going to go away. Okay, maybe you're in that place today, and maybe you've been offended. You've got to remember this, that the enemy wants to keep you there against the ropes. And then he just wants to wail on you until he puts you down. Maybe you know someone in your life, maybe who's stuck in that place, you know, because they're an offender or a sinner, and maybe they're seeking forgiveness, but they can't forgive themselves. Remember to comfort those people. Right? That's our job. Our job is to help restore people to Jesus. Amen? Come on, we can do that. The last thing I want to say, what did Jesus do for us? He won. He won the ultimate battle. He got in the ring and he knocked out Satan on the floor. And he beat down death forever so that we could have true freedom. I know y'all shot off fireworks last night. Yeah, and we celebrate our independence. But here's where true freedom comes from. God's victory, the victory of Jesus Christ. And if we can't see this, then we don't understand the fight that we're in. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and I'll pray. God, I know this morning that you are touching people's lives out there. I know you're touching someone's heart out there and you're pulling on those strings and saying, hey, you gotta let go. You gotta let go of this. You've got to forgive. Maybe we think we got a raw deal in life. But you know what, Lord? You erased all that. You gave us a better deal. You traded it all. You fought for us. You got in the ring for us. And we will be with you in paradise, Lord. Let us put our hope in you and in your strength and in your sacrifice on the cross where you took out Satan. Lord, I pray for restoration. Help us to be restored to you and help us to restore others to you so we can experience forgiveness, Lord, in our lives, Lord, in this church, in this nation, Lord, help us to forgive. Lord, we want to experience peace and victory. And we do that through you. In the name of Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming today. And thanks at home. We love you. Hey, go experience victory today. Right? Just remember, Jesus fights for you. We love you. Have a good day.